I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
In lieu of our regularly scheduled episode, we wanted to bring you guys the Real Housewives of Potomac after show. They really got into it on what happened in this week's episode. They talk about Candace's wide-bodied insult to Ashley and why she doesn't think that's body shaming. Karen Huger talking about how the housewives are able to keep up an appetite during really insane arguments. And the ladies react to Karen and Giselle finally apologizing to each other. Here's the after show now.
You brought your wide-body ass to Williamsburg.
She's a spinner, and you want to make everything about what it's not. She tried to make what I said mom-shaming. And it was not.
Y'all want to talk about body shaming, right?
I'm not body shaming you.
You're calling me wide?
You walking into a room, you body shame yourself.
She's never said anything about my body before, ever. Nothing. She'll talk about my forehead or whatever she wants to say. She's never addressed my physical body until this moment. Until I've actually undergone a change, that's when she decided to, out of all the insulting, disgusting things she said to me, that was when she decided to plug that one in there. So it just shows a lot about who she is and her character.
I would never, ever, ever refer to another female as having a wide body in any type of, like, setting. It's like, yes, well, you know, I like to diversify my insults. I wanted to change it up. But it had nothing to do with her being wider because she had just had a baby.
Ashley, I was not body shaming you. I called you a wide-bodied whatever out of anger. It had nothing to do with your body. I just wanted to say that.
there was no other meaning of wide-bodied than to, like, you know, talk about Ashley's body.
Is there any way that you could see this as not body shaming?
I mean, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's body shaming, okay? I mean, I get that, you know, Candace doesn't want to have anyone think that she would do that, you know, because it's just not cool, especially a, you know, woman to woman.
I really think Candace just messed up right there. Yeah, that's an easy insult to throw out, but
right. One of the quickest and fastest things to roll off of Candace's tongue was to talk about my body. So she obviously observed it. She had an opinion about it. And just at that time was when it slipped out.
Right.
Next time, I'm sure Candace will choose her insults wisely. Okay. If you want to come for Ashley, come for Ashley. But just choose your insults wisely.
Hindsight, she probably regretted it and realized it wasn't really the right thing to say.
I meant what I said. I meant you brought your wide body ass in here to start mess and drama. I honestly said, and I still believe, that she looked good to have just delivered a baby. And I say that as someone who can't stand her ass. I think she looked good and she looks great now. But what I said had nothing to do with her mom body.
She knew that she could probably take a jab at your insecurities. You know, like, I don't even want to say insecurities, Ash, because I'm sure, like, you know that that's a natural part of giving childbirth. But any woman that has given birth to a child, one of the first things they want to do and they can't wait to do is lose their weight. And I think, you know, not until she has her own child, has been postpartum, is insecure about her body, will she even really understand?
That's true.
If and when I get pregnant and I deliver a baby and, you know, my body changes, it will be what it will be. But I know that it's going to become and turn into, you know, this mom shaming game. And that's fine because that's what she will do. It had nothing to do with her mom body. It had to do with her being wide because she's full of bullshit. And she needs to go get a colonic and release the bullshit from her colon.
Candace just needs to be quiet sometimes. You know, Candace, I do know she's a good person, and I know it. But she needs to be quiet sometimes. Just be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, at this dinner, Candace calls you wide-bodied.
Mm-hmm. Because you...
I really wasn't surprised to hear that Candace would say something so crass about me being 1 month postpartum. But I thought that because she's going through her own motherhood journey and she's, you know, trying to be a better person, X, Y, and Z, that she would not just go for my white meat and talk about something that could really hurt my feelings.
You know, I do see growth in Candace, but sometimes she goes right back to the person that I met 4 years ago.
You must be weary. Go to bed.
Whew. Robin, what are your thoughts on Candace's comments?
I mean, they were totally out of line. You know, especially coming from someone who's never been pregnant before, never given birth, doesn't really understand, you know, the insecurities that a lot of pregnant women or postpartum women face. To try to use her body as an insult when she just performed one of the most beautiful miracles.
Yeah.
It's really, really low and immature of Candace.
That's not okay. This girl just had a baby. And you're going to call her wide?
You know, I love Candace to death, but Candace can do some low blows that are unnecessary, okay? Ashley just pushed a baby out of her vagina. Her body looks like what it looks like, whatever that is. We're not going to shame her for it. She just gave birth, Candace.
I think I was sitting there trying to figure it out because it just didn't make any sense to me. I don't care how much hurt or pain this person inflicted on me. Wide body is, to me, you know, we as women have so many insecurities and those things that we trap inside, and they hurt us to the core. And we never voice those, like how we feel about our body image. And for another female that we consider a friend group to say we have a wide body, to me, I thought that was the lowest of the low. I had never heard anything like it.
And thankfully, I'm not sensitive like that. But what if I were, especially when she knows that I had postpartum depression? I just don't know why she would think that's okay to bring up.
You know, they can go at it in their own ways, but, you know, to come for Ashley's body as she just gave birth didn't sit well with me at all.
I'm glad I wasn't at the party.
God.
I have always known that Candace, even without being there, has the knack for using her words to cut deep.
Deep.
And I am disappointed to hear that that happened here. But I'm glad that I was not there, because this has got to move on. And I don't even understand their Candace and Ashley's disconnect now.
I understand their disconnect.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Candace is a spoiled brat.
Well,
and Ashley, she's minding her own business in her penthouse.
Oh.
And Candace got problems with it.
Oh.
Giselle, one thing we noticed this season was that no matter how big the fight, you guys could always stop the drama to eat.
If you want to go, we can get it popping.
Hi, sir. Thank you. I got it. Oh, Jesus, this is heavy. The food is here. I'm going to eat.
Yes, bring on the food. Where is the Chinese food? Bring it. At that point, I was hungry. I'd had too much to drink. I'm hungry.
We're going to keep it moving, okay? We're going to keep it moving and eat.
How do you think that Giselle pops back so quickly from these, like, altercations that happen?
One thing I do enjoy about Giselle, the girl can eat. And food is so important to her that it is comical.
Is that the dynamic of this group? We're going to fight. We're also going
to
eat.
Fight to feast is something we do very well. Listen, we're not going to starve. We have to have the energy to fight.
You will not talk about my mother.
You not ruin your mama.
Don't
ruin your mama's
table.
You just admitted that you acted out of frustration.
Right.
And yet you can't tell me that you apologized.
I don't think it warrants an apology.
You want to talk about your fiery box that's on fire, and that's why you can't keep a man?
1 second. Can Chef Tia just tell us what's on that plate?
We have a walnut, blue cheese, and pomegranate salad for you all this evening.
All right, I think dinner's over.
If you want us to continue to fight, we gotta eat to fuel our bodies. Like, we have to eat.
What I love is food, okay?
Okay.
So y'all can put all that BS aside. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna eat this food because I'm hungry. And nobody's gonna stop me from eating my food, okay?
Listen. We can be angry, we can have drama, but we are all greedy bitches, okay? So when the food comes, drama be gone. We need to eat, okay?
Listen, what I did notice is that every time we sit down to eat, we're either about to fight. I was like, okay, if we're eating, we're about to fight.
Every time I sat down to the table with Giselle, that was her cue.
Yes.
Let me go in. Let me just start fighting Karen.
Well, we all know I can't stand Karen, so
well,
that's
this feeling's
be
mutual.
So would anybody like to apologize to anybody else before the trip gets started?
Are you talking to me?
We know that. I'm gonna be careful sitting down at any table with her moving forward.
Well, you know, she is a former first lady and she's used to sitting down and breaking bread.
You think first ladies sit down and break bread and fight?
They break bread and talk. It's like the
last
supper.
That woman is the first lady from hell and she knows it.
And she need to roll up off of me and let me eat my food. I said, can't I just eat my food? Can I just chew? I just want to chew maybe twice and swallow. Can I just do that? Roll the tape. I thought it was comical. But I was starving, honestly.
Karen, you and Giselle kind of make up to a certain extent at this goddess party.
Okay, my thing about this is, let's be very clear. I don't play with people's children. For my part in that, if it hurt her children, I'm sorry. No matter where Giselle and I are as grown women, she and I can have our differences. But when you use your children and you say your children are hurting, I am going to send an apology to those children immediately. That I'm not going to cause anyone's child pain. And for me, it was important that I handle that in that moment. Even though I questioned the validity of it. However, the children came up and that was my moment to extend that apology to the children. Of course, Giselle piggybacked on it.
If you're gonna apologize to
Giselle,
me.
For me, I'm like, all you have to do to get to a better place with me is own your shit and be accountable for what you've done and really be genuine about apologizing. So yeah, Karen owed me some apologies. Well, since it hurt you, I will give you what you need. I will give you the apology if you need that in this moment. But when it came to my children and my problem, she couldn't do it. She couldn't stomach it. She couldn't have grace for my children like I had for her children.
You basically wishing death on my husband.
Oh my God. So why not address it then?
Because you know what? My children were young and they were hurting.
Like, we talked about me, quote, wishing death on Ray. I never did that. And quite frankly, I'm so sick of that conversation. Because, and let me just say this. Karen wanted to have a, quote, reason to be mad at me. And so she fabricated one, which is not shocking or surprising because Karen's whole life is a fabrication. She pulled that out of her ass and, she ran with it. And it didn't make any sense because that whole commentary, Ray was wrong. Not me. Your husband. Not Giselle.
You're going to need to attract guys while you can.
He will be buried 6 feet under before this fades.
A man talking about a woman's looks and equating that to her finding a relationship is the most chauvinistic approach to life that I don't want to have anything to do with. I should have checked Ray in his pants right when he said it and said to him, that is some chauvinist bullshit that's coming out of your mouth. If you want to have a chauvinistic approach to life, save that for your wife. Do not come to me with that kind of behavior. I felt like she understood finally the things that she has done.
Karen, how big was this for your friendship with Giselle?
For me, that was, a huge moment. Maybe she had a moment with Jesus. I hope so. And she did the best she could while it was weak. I took it.
My verbiage and things I have said have never meant to hurt your family.
That was beautiful. I really think the devil was skating down there, ice skating, because I didn't think it would happen, and it happened, and it was just a beautiful thing.
That shocked me. I don't ever think that I expected an apology from Karen to Giselle in my lifetime. So definitely sitting there witnessing that was a shock because, is that growth? Is that just, being worn down and sick and tired of fighting with your arch nemesis? I don't know. I'm not sure what it was.
For me, it was not just about me and Giselle at that moment. It was the group is suffering from Giselle and I being, at each other every time we sit down at a table. While 50%, I'll be real, 50% of it was for me, but 50% of it was for my friends in the circle so we could move on. And that's what real women do. They don't just think about themselves and their objective. So do I believe Giselle completely? No. But do I love these women in this group enough to move on and take that weak-ass apology? Yes. And hold out hope that it's real. Yeah. I'll have hope. We'll see.
We'll see how long it lasts, child. We'll see how long this truth lasts. I mean,
You know what I mean? Like, their cuts are so deep. Yeah. I'm happy that they said that they're sorry, but let us see how long it lasts. And we all know it doesn't last long.
It don't last long.
Wendy, you and Giselle seem to have a bit of a truce at the goddess party.
Yeah. I think for me, I had moved forward with it. You know, I had said what I needed to say to her.
What I'm saying to you is at the core of this, I still feel as though if you were my friend, you would have come to me first.
And that's what I said I apologize for. That's the only thing I apologize for.
She was looking for an apology, and I told her, quite frankly, you owe me one. Because you went crazy for no reason.
I have always come to you in a place or spirit of love. I feel like that's what should have happened after you talked to Ashley.
Yeah, I received that. I received that.
It wasn't appropriate. Like, it wasn't cute. It was like, you know, I wish death on you. You're a horrible person.
If you want to go,
Wendy,
we can get it popping. We can get it popping. No, I knew Jamal before I came on this show. We're not talking about blogs anymore, baby.
It was so bad, all of the things that were coming out of her mouth, that, yeah, Wendy owes me an apology to this day.
I mean, I think as far as Wendy and Giselle calling a truce, I think it was just in order to move forward.
You know what? I think, honestly, by me putting the group first, I think I set, you know, the standard for how we should move on. And I try to be an example when I can, because we all are examples to each other. Wendy also is tired of this mess, and she wants to have fun with her girlfriends too. The common ingredient here is that Giselle likes mess. And if we take that power away from Giselle and move on, we're gonna have a good time. Just watch. We are not giving her that power to keep, you know, dysfunction going in this group at this moment. I think Wendy tired. I know Zai's tired. And I'm going to have me some fun with my friends. And this party, we're in a beautiful park. What better place to start right here with me is, you know, party.
Absolutely. I'm okay moving forward because I'm a firm believer of show me who you are and I'll deal with you accordingly. So there was nothing else left for me to say. Giselle has shown me who she is. And so I'm going to now move forward, but I'm moving forward differently.
Yeah.
Wendy, we get to see you have a pretty difficult conversation with your sons about what's happening with the Derek Chauvin verdict.
Yeah.
I know you guys have seen, you know, what's been going on in the news with, you know, Black Lives Matter and unknown Black people getting killed. And so Mommy and I, we wanted to have a talk with you guys so that you understand more.
You know, it's being a mom is hard, but you add the added layer of you having to commentate on real world issues. And sometimes those issues are so graphic and heinous in nature that whether you know it or not, your kids are aware of what mommy does. And being a commentator during the murder of George Floyd, coupled with the trial and verdict of Derek Chauvin, was emotionally tasking. And for my children, they had lots of questions, and I had to come to the decision of whether or not to tell them the truth or shield them from reality. What Eddie and I came to a conclusion with is the fact that we rather have them hear the hard truths of the world from their parents and not from them hearing someone else explain it to them. And you know, we also had to have the conversation of why they can't have toy guns. And of course, they brought up the fact that their white friends have, and I had to let them know, but you're not white. Mm-hmm. And someone can see you with a toy gun.
And think you're a threat.
And they think the worst before they think the best. Mm-hmm. Mike Carter wants to know why people who look like him are being murdered in the streets by people who he thought are supposed to protect them, which is police officers.
So if they go out on the street and we're older, like, would the police just think of us as a threat and then kill us? No. Or would they not think of us as a threat and not kill us?
Unfortunately, Eddie and I had to have that hard conversation with our 8-year-old and our 6-year-old and let them know that, A, not all cops are bad, but also let them know that, unfortunately, because of the color of their skin, there are some judgments and prejudice that comes with it. And it is grossly unfair, because while I am a Black mother and I have to shatter my Black son's innocence, my white friends don't have to do the same. So that conversation was completely heartbreaking. But I think where Eddie and I excelled, if I can toot our own horn, is the fact that we had the conversation, but we let them know that just because the world can be mean doesn't mean that they are less than. Just because you have Black skin doesn't mean you are any less better than your friends who have white skin.
How about if I become a person like Martin Luther King and I change that Black people don't get to be a threat and white people don't get to be a threat?
Well, you will be a great man.
Well, you'll be amazing. And mommy will be so proud of you.
I think it's really important for parents to build their children up while having these hard conversations. And so that's what we try to do. It's hard. It's even hard talking about it, you know? Because they're so young. So this is what it means when we say Black in America.
So Mia throws a goddess party to try and mend the friendships of this group.
Welcome to the goddess party.
Oh, wow.
Look at you. Okay.
Then I'm going to crown you.
Robin, that dress is everything.
The goddess party was so beautiful, and we just came with our goddess energy.
You know, there was a couple goddesses at the party. And then there was a whole lot of stress, hateration, and tension at the party.
Wendy, we obviously have not talked. You're obviously still angry.
There's no obviously.
You well, I haven't
exception.
Heard from you, so I would just assume you.
I haven't heard from you.
I think what's most important anytime you're in a friend group is to be able to come to a safe place and talk about and what's bothering you, what you love about each other, what you don't like about each other, and then a healing place. Because in order for you to heal, you have to be transparent and you have to be honest with each other.
I do know that we were all trying to get to a better place, and Mia wanted all of us to talk about all of these wonderful things that we feel about each other. And, you know, I don't really want to do that.
Everybody here knows Karen and I are not in a good place, so I have nothing nice to say.
Like, if we're going to be here and if we're going to, like, hash it out, like, let's just hash it out with the people that have issues. You know, I understood why Mia wanted to have this goddess party, because Mia likes to make up things and then act like she doesn't know why she made him up. Like, I call Wendy a weak bitch.
I would love for you to explain to me why the moment I left the house, you said, she's a weak bitch.
Who said that?
When did she say that?
You did.
Like, no. Like, I didn't ever say that. So I get that Mia wants to just clear all air, because she's really just clearing her air, okay? Because Mia, you got your feet all the way in the nastiness.
Mia's thing is all about interpretation. That's what it all is,
yeah.
Interpretations.
Exactly.
I think that because Mia was coming into the group fresh and she doesn't really have some of the long-standing relationships that some of us have, she probably was a good neutral person to try to help facilitate some communication in the group. And also, I think it does go along with Mia's motif. She's all about being positive, and she's positively messy sometimes, but for the most part, being positive. I feel like it was a good party for us to have that dialogue.
I will say that the party was definitely a clear indication of who Mia is on a day-to-day. I wake up, I burn my sage, absolutely. I burn my Paleo Santo. I always cleanse my space and I bless it to receive. And I felt like I wanted to share that to the best of my ability with these ladies. But in order for them to receive it, they have to be open to it.
Look, when you were sage, and I'm sure you sage like I sage. I saged Giselle when she came to my house two years ago. I think it was 2 years ago.
What? Are you saging me?
Yes, I am. I'm binding you in the name of Jesus. You look really good, Giselle, but
we don't know.
Looks are deceived.
I was like, in the name of Jesus. Yes, I did. Because you don't know what you're letting in. Darkness, I believe in that. And I think that's why you and I are able to have this connection, because we believe in clearing your area, trying to have a good time, and being receptive
absolutely.
Or open to moving on and healing. And I love that about you. So this was a great party, in my opinion.
You open up to your daughters about how your divorce affected you.
Do you want to get married again?
No.
I could.
It's a no.
I don't ever want to have to, like...
depend on someone?
Not necessarily depend on a man, but I don't ever want to have to answer to one from a financial perspective.
What was it like opening up to your girls about this?
You know, throughout the years, I always want to talk and be honest with my girls and talk to them on their level, you know, what I feel like they can understand. And they're getting older, and I feel like they can understand a little bit more now just about life and relationships and dating. And, you know, they're getting into dating, so I really want them to understand that, you know, as it relates to a relationship, you know, it's a journey for yourself. So put yourself first, always, and, you know, let the chips fall where they may, but always put yourself first. And I probably didn't do enough of that when I was married. You guys know when Granny Joe and Pops decided not to be together anymore. Mm-hmm. Them not being together scared her because she didn't know how she was going to be able to financially afford to take care of herself.
Yeah. Is that how you felt after?
After I got divorced? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was I gonna do? And that's on me. So I definitely want to teach my children to be as independent as they possibly can. But let your heart be open for love. My girls are great. I mean, half the time, are they really listening? I mean, they're teenagers, for the love of God. But, you know, they do appreciate me trying to be as emotionally available to them as I can be. So, you know, I think they appreciate it. They probably won't tell me for another 10 years, but they appreciate it.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.